John Williams, I know you've heard enough of me today, but Anna DeVlantis' computer and microphone cut out where she is working remotely. So I ran down the hall and here I am. And lucky me, because we've got a couple of pretty good guests that Pete has lined up. Up next is Mark Guarino. He's the Chicago correspondent for The Washington Post. He writes out of Chicago. He's also the managing editor of The Daily Line. Hey, Mark, it's John Williams. How are you this afternoon?
Hi, John. I'm really good. Thanks for having me.
Was that Heather Sharone's gig that you've got now?
It is. Yeah, Heather's over at WTTW now.
The Daily Line does what?
So the Daily Line is a daily newsletter and website that really focuses on policy-driven news. So everything from really in-depth meeting coverage to big think analytical pieces that look at what those policies mean for our area and as well as the state.
I'm a subscriber. There's a free edition and a paid-for edition. Does it work that way?
There is, yes. You get a free newsletter, and then there's also two different editions, one for the city in Cook County and the second for just specifically Illinois coverage.
You posted something on Facebook about Lori Lightfoot's performance. What are you saying about her job so far?
So I think that this is really the coronavirus was her biggest challenge, and now all of a sudden this weekend it changed into this. I think that she is kind of combining both of them with what she's talked about early in her tenure about bridging the gaps between all sides of the city that really have been adrift from one another. A lot of mayors have talked about that, but she's really, in her first year, she really kind of made all of her policies around that, trying to bring equity to the south and west sides. So she's carried that message into this current crisis, and everything she's talking about is really about sort of the things that have led to what we're seeing in the streets, the looting or the violence, and the despair, frankly. And there is a lot of despair on those streets when you go out at night and try to cover it. It's pretty daunting.
You imagine Lori Lightfoot deciding to run for mayor several months ago. Most folks never heard of her. And then she has to manage a pandemic. And then she has to manage the kinds of rioting we haven't seen in over half a century. You wonder if these people would have asked for the job if they'd known what they were going to get.
Right. And it's a more complex world, too, right? Because of social media. And so I think part of the fight she's kind of coming against is all the disinformation that's out there. And she just talked to reporters over the last hour, and that's a theme she kept hitting, that there are so many rumors and exaggerations that are out there, that's kind of part of it as well, to try to keep the peace. You need right information out there. And I think that's a real new thing that mayors across the city, across the U.S. are really facing. Everyone's got a video camera in their pocket. Everyone has an agenda. Everyone has, there's different groups that sort of attach themselves to a very peaceful protest that we saw downtown, organized crime. So it's far more complex than I think it would have been for even the last Mayor Daley.
Talk to me a little more specifically about what you posted and about what you've been covering on the streets.
So I've been going out every single night just to see see what's been going on. And the first night or two, I did see just looting right in front of me. And then I was down in Englewood. I saw a dollar store being looted, and then it was set on fire, or there was a fire set right next to it. I encountered fires, major fires. I'd never been in such a thick smoke before. But then I also talked with people on the street who basically have the same real despondency in their hearts about what's happening in their neighborhoods. So you're seeing people taking a real advantage of things, and then just people saying, what is going on in my neighborhood? You know, there's a lot of pride in these neighborhoods, and people want these neighborhoods to get better. And I think that overwhelmingly is something that I've seen time and again every time I go out when I talk with people.
Seems like wherever you go, somebody is saying that the looters are from other places, and I don't know that I buy that. Do you know who these people are?
Yeah, so I think that's a mixed bag. I think that the looters downtown, I think there's evidence to show, and I did see some of this. I saw some rental vans. I think there is evidence that some of the looting was very organized, whether they're from Chicago or not, to go after these high-end stores. So, I mean, they had sophisticated tools. They had a whole crew. That's pretty much, I mean, people have seen that. That's a captured on video. That's what the police are saying. I think in these, like, a lot of this petty looting, I think some of that are just people, it's, you know, it takes one person to smash a window. It takes another group of people to rush in. And then maybe a half hour later, you know, it's all open. So people in the neighborhood are going to walk in and see what they could get as well. So I think that it's a real mixed bag of how, you know, it's not a one size fit all description at all.
But still, that word organized is just puzzling to me. We're used to smash and grabbing on, say, Michigan Avenue, where a vehicle will crash into the window. People jump out of their cars, they grab the stuff, the car is waiting, they all drive off. Well, that's organized, but I don't know if that's Antifa, or I don't know if that's the right wing, or I don't know if that's any more organized than a bunch of people who do have a van, do have a trailer, and they figure stuff's going to be available now, and they're going and getting it. So the word organized is really puzzling to me right now.
I think right. I hear that. I think that it's tied to there are people who definitely showed up Saturday who are not. Who really had no interest in the protesting. So when I was down there for the first, I would say 45 minutes of the march from Federal Plaza, it marched up, I forgot what street it was, but it marched up to the riverfront. And along the riverfront, along Wabash, were a lot of cars that were parked. And there was definitely people who were not, they were in cars. They were not really part of the march. They did not have signs. And you got a sense that there were people who were sort of latching themselves on to what was going on. Because then the violence that happened, that you've seen all the images, that happened much later. And I think, so in terms of organized, yeah, you know, was this part of some big syndicate that we're used to in Chicago? You know, I think it's too early to tell, and I think we're going to find that out in the reporting when we have arrest. We look at the arrest records for a lot of these people to see where they're from and what their records look like.
Yeah, right.
But I think that, I think that'll come. But I think that there was definitely, it definitely was clear that there were forces around who were latching themselves onto it. Look, you know, if you were still downtown at 4 or 5 o'clock, you were not protesting George Floyd. You know, I saw protesters just go home. You know, they did what they wanted to do, and the people left after 5 o'clock were not. You know, it was not a peaceful protest. They were not there, you know, because of this tragedy that happened last week.
I know that the number that got thrown around was 80% of the protesters in Minneapolis, where this started from, were from outside Minnesota. The arrest records show the opposite, that 80% of them had local addresses. And I'm wondering, we asked Kim Fox about the arrest records of the people that are being corralled, and she said she didn't have a number on that, but the mayor continues to suggest that it is organized, and I'm not exactly sure the purpose of that line of rhetoric. I suspect that whatever organized means, it doesn't mean that it's not local, and I think Lori is trying to suggest, the mayor is, if you will, that it's not local. I guess we'll see.
But then she contradicted that. Today in her call to reporters, there's a lot of, I think even Saturday there were reports that, oh, there's a big caravan of looters coming in from Indiana.
Right.
Today she said there's no evidence of that. She said she talked with the governor of Indiana. They talked with the state police of Indiana. They looked at cameras. They said there's no evidence that there was this massive influx from Indiana coming in to take advantage of the city. So she actually kind of talked against that today. I suspect when she's talking about organized, I think she's talking less about geography, and I think she's talking about more about intent. Saying that there are people who are there with the intent to pull off crimes and not to participate in a protest. I think I have a sense that that's what she's referring to, not necessarily talking about, you know, specific gangs or a syndicate or anything like that.
Which is such a shame for the legitimate protesters, because then they end up providing cover for the people who are just taking advantage of everybody. You also mentioned a meme in your post. What's the meme that caught your eye?
There's a meme that's been going around that's saying if you're upset about looting, then you shouldn't be. If you're not upset about George Floyd, and you're upset about looting. It's kind of that rhetoric that's saying You know, there are more people out there upset about property damage than they are about the death of this man. And I just found that really distasteful and also really harmful as well. You actually can be upset about the death of George Floyd and profoundly upset, but you also can be profoundly upset about looting. And here's the reason why. Last night, so I told you I've been out since Saturday night and kind of seen all these scenes. And, you know, like last night I talked with, it was sort of the west side of Chicago. There's another dollar store, it's a Dollar Tree that was being burned. It had been looted all day, then burned. And the scene across the street from it was really just very profound. It was people sitting on their steps and their gravestones just looking at it. People were very sad. A lot of people weren't talking. I met a group of young women who worked there and now said, I don't have a job now. I don't know what I'm going to do. I talked to a man who was a caretaker for his mother. He had a mother who was ill and he ran the groceries. He doesn't have a car. There are no food stores on the west side of Chicago. And so, I think the idea that people can't be upset about looting is ridiculous because looting is a destroyer for these neighborhoods. It's not just about the people who own the building, own the brick and mortar. It's about the people who's, you know, those stores serve in a very vital way, in their livelihoods and in terms of providing jobs. And I think it's just creating much more of a stark problem, especially for neighborhoods that COVID hurt those communities more than the north side of Chicago or the Chicago suburbs. So now it's a double whammy.
Yeah.
And not to use a light term, but so I found that meme really disingenuous. And I think that stuff like that floating around social media really, really hurts the conversation by pitting, you know, one, you know, us versus them.
Interesting reporting and commentary, too. Mark Guarino is a Chicago correspondent for The Washington Post. He's now the managing editor at The Daily Line, Daily Line, thedailyline.net. Nice to talk to you, Mark. I'm sure we'll visit again. Thanks for your thoughts today.
I appreciate it. Thank you, John.